We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. And we're not too far from fall. Some days it felt a little more like fall this morning, even smelled like fall when I went outside. And that's a busy day for lawn and garden, especially lawn. We're going to be talking about that this morning. This is our lawn and garden day, and we have a father and son today. We didn't plan on this starting with, but the magic of radio, things do
happen.
That's
right.
Justin,
surprise,
Stefanski's
Bart, surprise.
Justin, of course, is one of the folks over at the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Bart.
Your dad is with us.
He is, yeah. Mr. John Stefanski's with us, and he is a current Master Gardener intern, and he's also the leader of our vineyard project. So I brought him along today to talk about our upcoming grape harvest, so we'll talk
about
that.
Is that pretty soon?
It'll be September 7th, and
That'll
let him...
That'll be here before we know it.
Absolutely. It's hard to believe we're already in August and approaching September. I don't know what happened to this summer. It's almost gone.
And the reason you got a little concerned this morning to, hey, Dad, can you come up? you got into a... you were not involved, but you were in the backlash of a traffic accident.
Yeah, I was in... I live in Rockvale, and coming up Highway 99, I never saw the accident, but there was just a big red line all the way up to Veterans Parkway, so I hope everything's okay. But, yeah, I made it. Thank God.
So for people who are coming in that direction, try to find, is there an alternate route? What would...
I had to go up. I had turned left on Veterans and went up Rucker and just came down Old Fort Parkway to get down here. So it wasn't too bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So be aware you need to be creative in your...
That's right.
...route to work this morning or school.
I left the house at 7, and my initial GPS said getting here at 7:40, and by the time I got here, it was 8:08. So it was quite the backup.
So be aware of that, and it's mainly, what was it, 99?
Highway 99 approaching Veterans Parkway as you're heading into town.
Okay. So, and there are not too many ways to get off of that.
Unfortunately, yeah, you're kind of stuck there.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm glad you're here.
It's good to be here.
And I'm glad your dad is here. John, Justin said that September 7th.
Yep, September 7th is when the grapes are deemed to be ripe and ready for harvest. And on that day, we have a traditional and annual grape harvest.
And so, that is really neat for people who are helping you.
Absolutely. I've got a great, the Rutherford County Master Gardeners, we're a volunteer organization. So I've got folks who help me maintain the vineyards during the growing season. And then we're also going to have a special festival where we'll be present and the public's invited from 8 until 11 on September 7th. We have a hayride. We've got...
that is a festival.
It is. It is. You're able to pick the grapes we grow are called Norton grapes, and they're wonderful sweet grape, and they'll be ready, and we'll provide harvesting bags for those grapes. We'll have games for the kids, face painting. We'll have a booth set up so that if you want to become a master gardener and take part in grapes or gardening, we've got a lot of good opportunities out there. So we hope the public is aware, will come out and join us. We'll have a great time.
Now, do the people who help you harvest the grapes, do they still get some of that grape juice?
Well, we're not going to juice this year as we have in years past, but they're available to be picked, and then they can juice them at home. Some folks even like to ferment them, Bart.
This year, instead of the juice, they're taking home some grapes?
Right. This year, we are taking home the grapes, and then you can do with them, make jelly. You know, watch it ferment, perhaps, you know.
Now, let me ask you this. Are local grapes different tasting from, say, the ones you buy in the store?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What you get in the store are imported, and they have their specific purpose for eating grapes. And the grapes that we grow certainly can be eaten, and they're delicious. But it all depends what the focus of the vineyard is. Some folks are just strictly growing grapes that go best in a bottle. Other folks grow grapes for consumption and jellies.
Now, grapes, people who are new to town, and there are a lot of new folks in the area. They don't realize grapes were really a big thing 50, 100 years ago. It was a normal thing to grow grapes.
Absolutely. Well, you know, think back then, we didn't have all the imported. You go into a place like Kroger's or Sam's Club, you find fruits that even you and I didn't see as we were growing up. So grapes, that was a thing to go to. They're sweet, delicious, and they're not going to be a star fruit or some of the other things, but they certainly were a staple and still are.
Now, were they sweeter then, or are they sweeter now?
It depends on what you're growing, and also depends a little bit on the season. You know, the same grape can taste differently year to year, depending on the soil, depending on the rain and the sunlight. So, yeah, you can have a grape take on a different flavor profile year to year.
Now, again, what is the date for this harvest?
September 7th, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. We'll have to ask people to park over by the, we have at the Agri Park Center.
The community center building is where the farmer's market is, so we'll have parking right in front of that.
And will the farmer's market be going on, or is it over?
It'll still be going on, but not on that day. September 7th is a Saturday, but the market will be open on the 6th, which is that Friday.
Okay. So this is Saturday, September the 7th.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. And also, if folks are interested in growing grapes, I'm starting a propagation program where we can have folks interested sign up at the event. And at the end of the year, we have to trim back some of the grape vines themselves. And from those vines, you can start growing new vines. So if folks would like to try a vine in their yard, we've got a way to get them started doing that.
Now, does it take a long time to get one started?
Yeah, it'll grow roots, and it'll actually put out leaves in the first growing season, but it'll take a few years before you get good quality grapes off of that.
I remember back when I was a kid, my grandmother had a grape arbor in her backyard, and so did my aunt. And as I don't remember grapes being on them. I remember, some kind of plant. I guess it was grapes. But
was it a muscadine or a scuppernong?
I don't know. You know, if you're 5 years old, you just play with the grape arbor.
Right.
But that's what made me feel that, this was a normal thing to grow. So,
yeah, and a lot of them were muscadine, which is kind of our native grape to the south, or scuppernong as it's called. And it has a thicker skin. It's a little bit bigger than a traditional table grape, and it has a thick skin. So a lot of folks will spit the skin out and just eat the meat that's inside of it.
Now, would those be seedless or seed, or was this...
They were relatively seedless, yes.
So they had seedless grapes back then?
They did, yeah. Now, there were some tiny seeds in it, but they weren't going to be seeds like the ones you had to spit out, basically.
Okay. So grapes have been a Tennessee product for
a long time. I'd say since the first European settlers came here, they probably had some grapevines with them, yeah.
So our weather, our soil is all conducive to grape growth?
Not particularly. Okay. You know, the muscadine or scuppernong, yes. Now, a lot of these cultivated varieties that they grow out in California, they grow in South America. You know, the grapes you see, like my father said, at Kroger and Publix, they are definitely not going to grow in Tennessee. And unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, they know Concord grape, and they say, well, I'm going to go down to the store and get me 10 Concord grapevines. Well, they just do not like our soil type, and they certainly don't like our heat and humidity. You got to think where these grapes are produced. You know, they're in an arid, drier climate with really well-drained soil, and we have none of those things here in Middle Tennessee, unfortunately. But the variety that we grow here, the Norton grape, as my dad mentioned, it is really well-suited to tolerate our clay soils. It tolerates the heat, and it has been around for a long time. It may be growing what you saw on your trellis there at your mother and aunt's house. So it does well here.
That'll be interesting to see this on, and help is needed. What kind of knowledge do you need, John, to help? Just a strong back and willingness?
Well, what I'll do is we'll have our volunteers come out with some pruners. The public is invited to come and pick their own grapes with pruners. So the help from the public who wants to show up, bring a small pair of pruners. We'll have people in the aisles helping them select and get to the grapes that are out there. So
you're just giving away some grapes?
We are.
You're not asking for them to come over and help get the product for a whole day?
No, just come on and enjoy. And so, yeah, it really is. It's our way to say thank you to the community.
Now, this is MTSU got this started, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Tony Johnston. And the vineyard we have is a little over an acre. We've got five rows, and it's about 20 years old. Hopefully, if things go well with our propagation project, we'll add a sixth row out there pretty soon.
Now, is it difficult to get something like that going? I mean, like you say, it's taken them quite a few years to get to that point, but have they been producing grapes all along?
Yes, and it's amazing. You know, out there, we don't have any way to water the grapes. We just go out there. We cut back some of the suckers like you would do on a mm-hmm. tomato plant. We take a look during the summer months. We do have some insects who love the grapes as much as we do. So we try to monitor that. But we don't spray. We don't water. And yet, year after year, they produce delicious fruit.
Now, Justin, we talk regularly, you know, on the show about container gardeners, gardens and what have you. Is this something, if somebody doesn't have a big piece of land, you know, a zero property line with a little square in the back area, is this something they could grow?
You know, probably not, and I'll say for two reasons. Number one, they need some really good soil depth, and I don't know if in a raised bed it would do well, but plus they need some physical space to grow. So, you know, one vine of ours, it may be 15 to 20 feet across. So unfortunately, unless they've got an area that they can trellis it, you know, if they're very limited in space, but if they've got the space, let's say they have a fence and they're able to get it growing, and basically you'll trellis it out in two different directions. You'll have two main arms, which are called cordons. But as long as you have a raised bed that was, let's say, at least 2 foot in depth, I think you could try it, but it may be a little bit of a challenge.
Okay, well, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today? Hello there. Okay. I think they didn't realize we were going to answer the phone. 615-893-1450. Yeah, if you have a question dealing with grapes, maybe you've had some in the past and you want to share some of your grape stories. Or maybe your great-grandmother or someone had a grape arbor and you remember grapes actually being on it instead of just playing under the grape arbor. Give us a shout, 615-893-1450. What type, I guess, I started to say what type of soil, but obviously we have sand and clay. And
well, not so
rocks.
Much sand, but clay is the predominant soil okay. type that we have here.
That's why we don't have sand. It's
yeah.
just clay.
You go in West Tennessee, you'll get some semi-sandy soils, but around here it's just good old clay soil.
And that does okay for this type of
grape? For this type of grape, absolutely.
Okay. And you said the grapes need to have deep soil?
You know, they need to have some depth, you know. So if you don't have, let's say, 2 feet of good, you know, arable soil, it's going to be a bit of a challenge.
Dr. Tony Johnston came out and took a look at the progress of the vines, as he does every year, and he said that a grape root can grow down to 20 feet in depth.
Oh, really? So yes. When you say deep soil, you mean deep soil.
If it's there, they'll use it. Let's put it that way, yeah.
So when you're talking about soil depth, before you hit rocks, and
that's right.
That's the Tennessee issue.
Isn't it, though? I live in Rockville, and I didn't get that name because we have deep, rich soil, I'll tell you that. So grapes are probably not in my near future. Let's say that.
But if you do have deep soil, and let's say you have a backyard that is still small, it mm-hmm. could be still a zero property line, would there, if you have deep soil...
Yeah, you could absolutely plant it right in the ground. And now, they do need a trellis, though. That's the one thing. So you can either use a fence or you can create... If you think of an old-fashioned clothesline, when people used to air-dry their clothes, that's essentially what our trellis looks like. It has a upright with two arms, kind of in a Y fashion, and it has two wires on it. So, and if you go on the internet, you go to uthort.com, uthort.com. There is links there that will take you to publications for growing grapes, and really every other horticulturally related thing you could ever think of. uthort.com is a great resource.
So when you go over to the Ag Center to help and get some, well, you're not helping. Let me correct that. You're out there just getting yourself some
It's a
free
win-win.
Grapes.
You got it.
Saturday, September the 7th. What is the time again?
8 a.m. to 11 a.m., Bart.
8 to 11 a.m. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And bring the kids. We want to make this a fun event for everyone. So the kids will have games, we'll have refreshments, we'll have face painting. We might even use our trolley for a hayride. Yeah, so we're going to make a good effort to ensure everyone has a great time.
And it is first come, first serve. So if you show up at 10:59, you're probably not going to get grapes. So bear in mind, get the kids out of bed early. Try to get there closer to 8 if you can. I know last year we harvested every grape we had by 9 o'clock. And I'm not saying that'll happen this year. But again, just bear in mind, it is first come, first serve.
Now, it's important, I guess, to harvest the grapes. If you don't do that, what is, do they die on the vine?
Or well,
what?
You'll get raisins, Bart. Okay. And they're good, too.
That's right. And that's what happens, really.
Yes.
If you don't harvest them when they're at their peak, they shrivel up and become raisins.
Right. So even if you're late to the party, there'll still be something to enjoy.
That's right.
Well, the birds will get them before the raisins happen. I'll say that. Yeah.
So if you really intended to get raisins, you'd have to, what'd you, grow them inside or something? Because you got birds.
Bird netting. You could put up bird netting or some type of a screen on them. Yeah, birds go crazy for them. Squirrels, birds, pretty much anything with a mouth and a belly will enjoy those grapes.
Now, this is going to be a strange story, but it's going to show my ignorance. Cranberries. Are cranberries a cousin to grapes?
No, those are two totally unrelated plants. Even though they look similar, they are not botanically or genetically related.
Okay, because little cranberries, those are not called craisins. That's a...
Well, they do. They are cranberries. Those craisins are cranberries, and they are dried out. But in terms of a plant relation, they're not related.
Okay.
You know, Bart, I learned while taking care of the vineyard this year, just through education and having people like Dr. Tony Johnson to rely on for information, that there are vines that produce fruit for up to 100 years. In fact, a little over. Now, they may not produce as prolific as when they're a young vine, say in their 20s, but I was just amazed that you could have 100 years from a grapevine.
That is amazing. And Dr. Johnson he's on the cutting edge of the grape industry here in this area. I guess he's the one that got it started. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
10,
he initially started
years
it 20 years ago, right 20, when we moved on property. And he actually retired this past August. So
did
we'll
he?
Say congrats to Dr. Johnston. He was one of my professors when I was at MTSU. So,
well, he's just a young guy.
He's a young whippersnapper. Yeah, he's aged well. But, yeah, he retired this year, and he's had a great long career there at MTSU. He was, I think he was in the Air National Guard as well. So great American hero, Tony Johnston. We appreciate all he's done for us.
Very definitely. And, again, head over to the vineyard there at the Ag Center. Saturday, September the 7th, 8 to 11 a.m. You said bring
pruners. Small, and you don't need big pruners. Little small pruners, just enough so you can just nip the bunches of grapes as you go. We will provide the harvesting bags. So it'll be one good size bag per person, two bags per family. This way we hope to ensure that there's enough for everyone when they show up.
It'll be rain or shine, so if it's raining, wear boots and a raincoat. We're getting those grapes picked one way or the other. So,
and if it's a nice day, bring your fishing pole. Is the fishing
right,
going
absolutely.
Again?
Absolutely. Fishing is open year-round, 365 days. I mean, you come out any time. As long as you have a fishing license, you are good to go.
Now, do kids need fishing license? What's the law?
That's a great question. I don't know if there's an age limit. I think there's some grace that's given to kids, let's say, under a certain age. But I would definitely go to TWRA, their website, just to be sure.
Okay. And if the parents or grandparents don't have a license themselves and the child is of the proper age where they, assuming they don't need one, it's okay for the kids to, but just parents, you need to watch the kids.
Yes, exactly. And I've yet to see a TWRA wildlife agent come out to our pond to double check things, but you never know. So.
That's right. Well, we want to keep it above.
That's right.
But that's a good way for adults and youngsters to get some good bond.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic. Every time I see a family out there fishing, it just brings a little joy to my heart because it's great to have people come out to our property.
And, you know, with events like this one coming up Saturday, September the 7th, it's a great opportunity. And, of course, every day that they have the Farmers Market, which is Tuesday and Friday mornings, 7 until noon, Another great opportunity.
Absolutely. I encourage anybody to come out. Tuesday, we just have our traditional producers. And then Friday, we have artisans and craft people and food trucks on the other side of our community center. And it's a great event. We'll have folks in the community center selling products, and then Master Gardeners will be out at our demonstration gardens there to help give tours, answer questions, and it's just a great day.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We will return. If you have a question or a comment, you can call us, you can text us, whichever you prefer. 615-893-1450. That's the number to talk or text. You're in control. Don't let it go to your head, though. 615-893-1450. The Stefanski boys are with us today. Justin and his dad, John.
The Atlanta Braves play here. I'm Ben Ingram, and you're listening to Middle Tennessee's home of the Atlanta Braves. News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. I'm always one of those that goes on and off diets. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. And you know, at Demas's, one of the things that I started doing because of my own eating habits is we have a low-calorie menu and a low-carb menu. So depending on whatever diet that you like, we have options for you that are available at Demas's. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner 7 days a week at Demas's.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Most of us know to buckle up to protect ourselves in the car. Did you know you can offer your pet the same type of protection with a Ruffland kennel? This time of year, we usually look to vacation. If you're traveling with your pet, keep them safe in a Ruffland kennel. Here at Animal City, we are a Ruffland dealer. Come in and see us and get your pets some protection. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro.
Good morning. They were moving that rack a few minutes ago on 40 West at Spence Lane. Still a little bit tight up there in M Hill Pike at Briley Parkway and Donaldson. Trying to clean up that earlier crash at that intersection. Traffic still a little bit crowded right now. 24 westbound up through Antioch. Coming in from Murfreesboro and Rutherford County. Hadn't been too bad this morning. Let's keep up the good work up through there. Coming in from Murfreesboro towards Nashville. Princess Hot Chicken, where you can order online today. Use DoorDash Uber Eats delivery at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-90s. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 75. Friday, chance for rain and storms, a high of 93. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 68.
I'm a single mom, and as you can imagine, it's a fight sometimes just to get out the door. But when I need new tires or something's wrong with my car, I need to head to someone I can trust. I go to Tire World.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Tire World, locally owned and operated.
I get a radio that's kind of possessed.
It's coast to coast AM overnight every night.
You have a possessed radio?
Yeah.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Want to say happy birthday to Dustin Cunningham. Hey, Dustin, happy birthday to you. Dustin is not only having a birthday today, but he's enjoying some of that banana pudding from Slick Pig Barbecue. Makes birthdays even better. Happy birthday, Dustin Cunningham. Our good neighbor of the day is Rebecca DeMalfi. And Rebecca is just, the person said, she's the sweet, charming, caring friend who helped me in a time of need. That's what friends are for. And she is the good neighbor of the day, receiving flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Hey, let us know about your good neighbor. Send us their name, address, and phone number and tell us why they should be the good neighbors of the day. Lawn and Garden Day, that is today. And we have with us Justin Stefanski and his dad, John. They're here sharing all sorts of lawn and garden items. The big grape harvest coming up Saturday, September 7th from 8 to 11. They're not asking for your help on harvesting the grapes. They're just wanting to give you some grapes for free. Is that right? No tricks.
Right? No charge.
Okay. From grapes, we turn to fall army worms. And I hate to say this, I've never heard of fall army worms.
You may have never heard of them, but I'm guarantee you've probably seen them and didn't know it. So this time of year, late summer, there's this pest called the fall armyworm, and it is a caterpillar-like insect. Well, it is a caterpillar, and it can cause some damage to turf. So we've been getting calls here recently. I started getting them last week, and we've had reports across the state. And what you're going to see is areas of your turf that were otherwise healthy all of a sudden start to turn brown. And when you go to look at the turf, you can pull it up just like you pull loose hair out. I mean, there's no root system left.
You just pull the grass up?
Pulls it right up. It'll be brown. It'll look very unhealthy. And basically, these caterpillars are feeding on the turf roots. And they call them armyworms because they will show up in large numbers. And you will see them crawling on the soil surface. You may see them, just kind of crawling around in those areas. So fall armyworms is something to keep an eye out for. Now, I will say this. Fall armyworms are rarely going to be a death sentence for grass. It will certainly cause some damage. It's more of a cosmetic issue. It's unsightly. If you live in an HOA and you're trying to win Best Grass of the Year award, it may be a concern for you. But for most folks, if you see fall armyworm damage, it's just kind of ride it out. You know, it's going to look ugly, but it will not totally kill out the turf. If you do have fall armyworms and you're very concerned, let's say you have newly established turf areas, give our office a call, 615-898-7710. Again, 898-7710. We can help with recommendations for control on fall armyworms.
Is it difficult to control these?
It can be. You know, really, control should happen in the spring or early on when you're kind of controlling them in the immature stage. So once they're at their most aggressive stage, that can be a bit of a challenge to control. But there are a few options out there. But again, typically, it's nothing that we are too concerned about, and we don't typically recommend trying to control. But there are certain situations, if you've got newly established grass and you're trying to keep it healthy, that could be a concern.
Now, these are caterpillars. They're really not worms, you say.
Yeah, they're caterpillars. They will be green or brownish in color. They may have some black striping to them. They're about an inch long or so, and they will be in volume. So you won't just see one or two. You'll probably see 100 of them in a spot. So
you notice those.
Oh, you'll notice them for sure, yeah.
Okay.
And you can do what's called a soap drench. So this is a fancy method for flushing out insects from the soil. If you kind of trace out like the size of about a hula hoop, and use a Dawn dish soap solution. Let's say you put a tablespoon of Dawn in 3 gallons of water, pour it on that soil surface in that area, and they cannot stand soap, and it will flush those insects to the surface. And typically what we recommend doing is take a spot where if you've got a damaged area, go right on the edge of that where it's the damaged spot meeting healthy turf. Because if you do it in the center of the dead spot, there'd be no armyworms there. They've already moved on. So try to do it right on the edge of where you're seeing damage in the transition to your healthy turf.
And this question here from a listener might go in keeping with that. I don't think they're meaning for it to, but it might do that. They're asking about something they had not heard of, and this is dealing with the sycamore tree up on the courthouse square,
That,
the historic one.
Yep.
They put turf around that, and it killed the tree.
Well, I don't think it was the turf that killed it. Now, that tree had some other issues, and that tree, I know exactly what tree they speak of because it's spectacular, and I bet that tree is every bit of 150 years old. I mean, It's been here since probably the Civil War. That tree had some other issues. I think there was some bacterial issues and probably some root rot, and you think about all the activity that has happened on that square in terms of digging, asphalt, pavement, utilities. That damages a lot of the root system. And when a tree gets that big, especially in an area that size, right, where do you typically see sycamores growing? They're at the edge of streams. They're near water. They're in a field. You know, there's only a certain amount of permeable where water can get down to those roots in that area, right? So it's kind of at a disadvantage. So there were some other issues there. I don't necessarily think the turf had anything to do with the decline. I think it was just a lot of factors and some, call it bacterial leaf scorch, which is basically it's like having clogged arteries in a human, and it clogs up the veins of that plant, and the plant is basically not able to get water up to the foliage. And unfortunately, sycamore is at risk for that. So
does heavy traffic cause problems like that?
It can absolutely. You know,
I mean, because you have thousands of people.
Thousands of people. So even
I mean,
in that grass area, absolutely.
Yeah. Compaction,
you know, compaction
of the
compaction,
soil.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what basically occurs. You know, you think about that clay soil that we have. It's already hard. you get a bunch of foot traffic and just, you know, years and years and years of wear and tear, it further compresses that soil, puts more stress on the root system. So yes, that's, now sycamores are great urban trees. You know, they've been used for a couple hundred years. And in England, you know, London plane tree is closely related. They've been using those for probably, you know, half a millennia. So, but again, that tree is up against a lot of stressors.
Now they're doing something pretty neat about this, because they're going to have to ultimately take it down. Mm-hmm. And then there are three other cousins of it around the courthouse, all that were planted about the same time. The others are still appearing to do well, but they're creating some saplings from that tree.
I didn't know that, and I'm glad to hear that. That's good.
So they're going to grow them in a greenhouse for about 10 years.
Excellent.
And then replace all of them.
That's excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
What would you do? I mean, because still you're going to have concerts on the square. You're going to have people up there in large numbers, because that's what the square is for.
Right, right.
What can you do to make those new ones last?
You know, TLC, a lot of love and care. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And irrigation is key. You know, we had this hot, dry weather. You've got compacted soil, and I'm sure the square has around the courthouse. I guarantee there's a sprinkler system. I think I've seen it running before. So irrigation is key. Planting it properly. My goodness gracious, Bart. I can't tell you how many times I've seen trees that never stood a chance because they were not planted properly. And I guarantee whoever plants those trees will be well educated and know what to do. But typically trees are planted too deeply. And then there's this other phenomenon that we see. It's called volcano mulching. And this is where people pile mulch up. You've seen it too, haven't you?
I've probably done it.
That's okay. I stand before you a sinner too. I guarantee at one time I probably did it as well. But when you pile mulch up against the trunk of a tree, it really causes some damage. It causes an environment that spreads diseases, and it basically is like suffocating the tree. And you should, when you plant a tree, you should be able to see those roots where they flare out from the trunk. We call that the crown or the root flare. And so many times people will plant that root flare 6, 7, 8 inches below the soil level, and it basically just suffocates the tree.
Now, something, we had some trees trimmed at our house this year, and the person did some things I've never seen done before. He said, your roots are they were circling the trees.
Girdling roots, yeah.
And he was cutting the roots up by the tree, severing them. I'm just going in.
Yeah.
And I thought, I hope he doesn't kill it.
Can I ask what type of trees they were?
You could. I don't know. They were tall and had wood and leaves.
Well, girdling roots are a huge issue, especially in maple trees. We see this a lot.
I think that's what they are.
You know, the old-fashioned silver maples, they're not quite as pretty as a sugar maple or a red maple. Silver maples are notorious for having those surface roots. They make mowing very challenging.
And these are really above the ground.
So I'm guessing if they're older trees, they could be a silver maple. But a lot of even the younger, we call them hybridized red maples, and they've been selectively bred. You see them all over the place. They're the vibrant red maple trees that are just showing out in October. And basically what happens is those roots, always remember this, roots are lazy. They're going to take the path of least resistance, right? And especially when we're mulching young trees and we have that mulch piled up, those roots are not going to grow out in the hard clay. They're going to grow right up into that soft mulch. And what happens, it's basically like, imagine putting a rubber band around your wrist. Eventually your fingers are going to get tingly, right? And the same thing occurs when we get these roots that crisscross each other. They basically are constricting the flow of water up into the trunk and into the canopy. And that is a huge concern for trees. So I'm glad that this gentleman was able to take care of that for you.
He was an arborist.
Good. Arborist is key. You know, that's a relative term, isn't it, arborist? There's a lot of people.
We looked specifically for one because
excellent.
We had a tree that we really enjoy.
Yes.
And it needed some tender, loving care. And I had no idea how to do it, so we wanted to find somebody who did.
You did the right thing, for sure.
And so the roots are very important. If you wanted them to do the natural thing, because I think we were restricting those roots with different ways of over the years. What should we have done?
Well, there's probably not anything you could have done, just because that particular tree species, if it truly is a silver maple.
And I think it is.
That tree is just, that's its natural habit, or we call habit the way it grows. And unfortunately, silver maples, you can't buy a silver maple today at a garden center for that very reason. They've gone out of favor. they reseed like crazy. I'm sure you've probably seen that. But, you know, certain tree species like silver maples are just going to do that. There was nothing you could have done preventatively. Unfortunately, that's just the way they grow. But in young trees, let's say you have a young tree, you know, remember, mulch is a good thing, but too much is a bad thing. So we typically recommend about a 2-inch layer of mulch. And, you know, we don't want to pile that mulch up thickly. And we see this in more of a, if you're a commercial landscape company, you have an annual contract and you're going to mulch 3 times a year because it's part of the contract, whether or not it's needed or not. So if you're in a neighborhood or an HOA situation where you're getting services done, I see this routinely, the companies will come out and spread more mulch because that's part of the plan. So if that is the case, you may have to go out there and do a little archaeological digging to get back to that root flare and to remove some of that mulch. But that's the big thing there. 2 inches is the proper layer. Any more than that, you're asking for trouble.
Here's a listener who says they just moved here about 6 months ago. Excuse me for that. I get all choked up when I hear about people moving here. But they said they moved here from the West Coast about 6 months ago, and there were lots of issues with their front yard. They live downtown, have a small front yard, and they're wondering if they can put in rocks and things of that sort where they have zero maintenance on their front yard, that they had that out west.
It's can called xeriscaping.
Okay.
And I would check with the city. There may be an ordinance. I'm not sure. I know out west they've been using, we call it hardscapes. It's xeriscaping with an X. X-E-R-I-scaping. I can certainly see that. You know, if you've got a smaller yard, I think it looks attractive. If you've got the right plants mixed in, you can use succulents, ornamental grasses, some of our herbaceous perennial flowers look good, but I would certainly have them check with the city ordinance department. There may be certain stipulations, especially if they're in a historic zone there. I'm not exactly sure if they're able to do such, but if they can do it, I would certainly recommend exploring that option.
So you're mentioning putting some type of plants in this xeriscaping.
Yes. Yes. You know, if you just have rocks, it's just rocks. But incorporating some species of plants within that rocked area and using different size rocks. And I'm sure these folks from the West Coast, this is probably exactly what they saw out west. You know, you'll have, some specimen boulders here and there. And then you mix in, some, let's say, softball size rocks. And then you may have a path with some smaller gravel and different textured rocks, different colored rocks. It can look very attractive. Now, Mitchell Moat, my coworker, would probably be scoffing at me right now. He is one of the finest horticulture extension agents, and he specializes in turf. But, you know, turf is not for everybody. And if you've got a small area and you just don't have the time or energy to maintain it, you know, certainly you can explore, even landscaping certain portions of it and just having an area of turf that's kind of a highlighted area. That could be an option as well.
So this is an idea that we're borrowing from friends out west.
Out west. And basically it started out west due to water. You know, there was so many issues with the availability of water, water usage. And a lot of these cities out west and in, Arizona, California, they made a mandate that you had to pull up your turf. You know, Nevada, I think Las Vegas maybe had this a few years ago as well. So it has been a common practice probably for the last 2 decades out west.
So is that the area that has put in lawn carpet, basically?
Yeah, some of these areas, they've used synthetic turfs out there where if you want to have turf and you don't want to have the water usage, you can get synthetic turf. Think about MTSU's football field, right? That is synthetic turf.
And it looks that way all year long.
Looks that way all year round, stays green. You know, some people ask me, what do I need to do to grow better grass? And I jokingly say, I think artificial turf is the way to go for you. I've seen this in smaller areas. Let's say you've got a townhome, you've got a small back area. There are companies now that will put in a permeable turf where your pets can do their business and it slowly permeates down. There's a sublayer, but it's really soft and cushy, and the grandkids can play on it, but also it acts like a natural turf because it has a drainage layer beneath it. So this is becoming more of a popular thing for smaller areas.
So if you have a smaller area, like a lot of the new condos have, can you get some with a little longer turf?
You can.
Where it looks really real?
You know, we think AstroTurf back in the day. That old MTSU football field was like concrete. I remember playing there in Pop Warner football. My goodness gracious, the scratches and bumps. These newer synthetic turfs, you can get them all the way up to 2, 3, 4 inches even.
So they have more of a... Do they look real?
you know, they're still going to look artificial, but they're going to look more real than it used to look. Let's put it that way.
And the taller certainly does look more natural. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And just remember, though, with anything that's artificial, it has a lifespan. You know, that's the one thing it is. They've come a long way with those synthetic turfs, but the sun will biodegrade those things over time. So just bear in mind, it will not last forever. You know, nothing lasts forever, and that's same can be said with synthetic.
Our phone number, by the way, 615-893-1450. Nothing lasts forever, and we're going to pause and check on the weather, and we'll be right back. So this will be our final segment. If you have a question for Justin or John, get it to us quickly because you have this coming segment. That'll be it.
All Sports Talk, weekdays at 5.
WGNS, your good neighbor station.
Rutherford County's place to talk.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here. And so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Please come and see us for all your gardening, home, and farm needs. We have a great selection of clothing, farm items, and also our wonderful gift department. Please come see us for all your gift items. And we also have local honey. And if you're interested in being a beekeeper, we do have supplies for that. We have from hives to suits to whatever you need to take care of those bees. We're located at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-90s. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 75. Friday, chance for rain and storms, a high of 93. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 68.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
68 degrees. How long has it been that we've been able to say that in the 8 o'clock hour?
A long time.
And it felt good outside.
It felt amazing.
I mean, 68 degrees is phenomenal.
I am so looking forward to the end of summer. As much as I love summer, man, fall is hard to beat.
I mean, football is on us.
It's about to be here. I know. It's exciting, isn't it?
So whenever that happens, you know it's time for the weather to change.
I will stop sweating for the first
time
in months.
One thing we have not talked about, time for the weather to change, the seasons to change. I'm surprised we haven't gotten calls yet on people who are wanting to do something with their yards. Mm-hmm. This is the time.
Well, not quite yet.
Almost, okay.
You know, back in the day we used to say September, but, you know, October is the new September. Historically, that is the month that we would recommend doing some turf, overseeding, some renovation, and we're talking cool season grasses. So cool season grasses, fescue, things like that. That's the grass that stays green in the winter, but, you know, in the summertime it struggles. Now, if you've got Bermuda grass, which is the one that goes dormant, you know, that renovation and overseeding would happen in, let's say, June, late May or June. So, but if you've got a fescue lawn, this is a great time, or in October would be a great time. I recommend doing an aeration, core aeration. That's where they take those little plugs out of the soil. That helps a whole lot in reducing compaction, and if you overseed, it gives those seeds a place to germinate. So October, and pretty much our rule of thumb is you want to get all this done before October 31st. That's kind of the cutoff date.
Okay, October 31st.
Yes, sir.
So be planning on those, and if you're looking at, if you've had problems with not having enough grass growing, is this the time to start over?
You know, you can totally renovate, yes. And again, it just really depends on the type of grass that you have. You know, if you've got warm season grasses, now you can certainly put down Bermuda grass sod at any time of year, but really we recommend doing that in the late spring, early summer when it has the best chance to take off. But if you've got fescue, you've got a good cool season turf, you know, this is definitely the time to start thinking about it.
And a good place to go is to the Ag Center.
Absolutely.
And look at Mitchell's turf plots.
Yeah, come out and see us, 315 John R. Rice Boulevard there, just down the street from Sam's Club and TSC. One of our agents, Mitchell Moat, he has about, I'd say, 20 different varieties growing there. We've got plots. We've got a map. You can come out, and if you're lucky, you'll catch Mitchell or myself, and we can go out there and give you a tour. John L. Beatty came out the other day, and Mitchell was in Arizona, so I was the second string. You know, I came off the bench, and sure enough, Mitchell was redoing the map, and no one knew where this map was. So poor John L., I walked him around, and I said, well, John, that's green grass, and this is green grass, and that's green grass. And boy, he was gracious. Him and his wife were so nice. So
Now, Mitchell is big on the push mowers, the reel type.
I don't know if he's big on it, but that is certainly an option. You know, if you've got a smaller yard, and by reel type, we mean the one that just looks like a cylindrical roll, mm-hmm. and man, those things are sharp.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's an option if you've got a smaller area. You will certainly get some exercise in, though, doing it, I'll tell you that. It's not an easy way to mow your yard.
But does it do better?
I don't know if better is the right word. It just is a different way to mow.
Well, your dad was shaking his head yes.
Well, you know, I grew up pushing one of those
mowers. Too.
And a lot of the lawns just seem to, the way the motion of the reel on that mower, you notice how everything looked like the green on a golf course.
Well, those don't wonderful the golf courses, they pull them around.
Well, they have mechanical mowers, but they use that same type of technology. They will use a reel type where it has that cylindrical. When I worked at Indian Hills, all of our mowers were those type. But again, they were gas-powered and they were self-driven because we just didn't have time to push mow everything.
Right.
Now, the key that with those, though, is keeping it very sharp. You know, you got to sharpen those blades routinely. If they get dull, your life is going to be miserable.
So for people who don't sharpen their rotator mowers, this is not your thing.
Not your thing. And really, you should be sharpening your mower blades regardless what type of mower you have. That's really good for
what's
your,
the season?
You know, the off-season when you're not mowing.
Okay,
you know,
really?
Get those blades sharpened. You can take them to one of our local, you know, Hooper Supply, I think, does some of that stuff. Take it over there. Get them to sharpen them up for you. Free plug for Hoopers there. But, you know, keeping those mower blades.
Have a cup of coffee with them.
That's right. Keep those mower blades sharp because if you don't, you're going to rip and tear grass and it can cause some problems.
Now, tomorrow is the farmer's market.
Yes, sir.
7 in the morning until noon.
Till noon.
And will the gardens be open with
they
somebody to
be.
Explain them?
You got it. Yes, Bart. So at our demonstration gardens, which are just out in front of the farmer's market building there, there'll be a pavilion right in front of the pond. And please come out and see us. We'll have master gardeners there to help give you tours, answer questions, and just kind of be polite and friendly to you.
Now, what kind of gardens can you start one still?
You certainly can. You know, people do not take advantage of our fall gardening season. So things like broccoli, cabbage, onions, cauliflower, greens, you know, lettuce. My goodness, if you wanna feel like a good gardener, grow some lettuce. It's kind of like growing okra and beans, right? It'll produce and do well. So, yes, certainly give us a shout at our office. I can give you a planting guide or go to uthort.com and get some planting lists. But fall and spring gardening is overlooked and underutilized.
And, John, before we go, again, remind people about the grape harvesting, which we're not asking you to help. We're asking you to get free grapes.
Yes. Now, they can clip their own grapes for their consumption, but mostly we want you to come on out, learn a little bit about grapes, have a great time with your family, ask questions. Master gardeners are going to be present, but we welcome you all. September 7th, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And that's a Saturday, September 7th, 8 to 11. And you mentioned Master Garden, which you're one of.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a time where people could sign up, or is it too late?
No, they can absolutely sign up. We'll have an interest sheet there. The class will actually start in January, but it's first come, first serve as well. So get your name on that list now, and we'll have that that information for you at the harvest.
Grapes and be a Master Gardener at the same time.
It's a great combo.
Yes, sir.
The father and son today, Justin and John Stefanski.
It's great
Thank
to be
you
here.
For
Thank
joining
you.
Us.
Thank you, Bart.
Have a great day.